Hey, it's Dolla White, and this is the Dolla White Podcast. My guests today are Keisha Knight Pulliam and Lance Gross. They're here today to talk about their experiences attending HBCUs. Quick side note before we get started. If I would have told the 7-year-old me that TV's Rudy Huxtable will one day be on my podcast, I probably would have said, "What the fuck is a podcast?" Had a horrible mouth when I was 7. Welcome to the Dolla White Podcast.
Pull up, Giddy. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolla White Podcast.
Episode 12 now of the Dolla White Podcast. My guests today need no introduction. Keisha Knight Pulliam, Lance Gross, thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so we're going to talk about HBCUs today. I didn't go to an HBCU. I went to the illustrious Georgia Southern University, a.k.a. the Harvard of Southeast Rural Georgia. Nobody really calls it that, but I'm going to start a tradition today. But I do live in Nashville, Tennessee, and of course, Fisk University, Tennessee State University right here, and big parts of the community. So I know you guys both went to HBCU, so let's start there. Like, was it a decision? Did you always know you wanted to attend an HBCU, or is it something that you just went around to a bunch of different schools and that's where you felt most at home?
Not only did I always know I wanted to attend an HBCU, I was clear that I was going to Spelman College. We actually filmed an episode of The Cosby Show on Spelman's campus when I was about 7 years old, and I fell in love. You know, I saw all of these amazing, beautiful women who looked like me, and I was sold. I was like, I'm going to Spelman, period, point blank. And, you know, of course, my parents, specifically my dad at that point, you know, you're 7. At seven, you may want to do 75 different things before you get to college age. But when it came time for me to apply, I still was like, no, Dad, I'm going to Spelman. And he tried all of the hard, no, we should do this and do that. And I was like, I'll be at Spelman. I applied early decision, and that was the end of it. So
is that the only school you applied to?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I pretended to apply to other schools for my job. But, and luckily I had my mom on board. But before, because a lot of times back then there were kind of two-step applications where you may have had to send in like the first part, but before you got to the meat of the application. So I knew I was accepted to Spelman, I think, by Thanksgiving, Christmas break.
Wow, that's dope. Lance, same question. Did you know you were always going to go to an HBCU, or did you just feel most at home at Howard?
I knew early. I was inspired by A Different World, a spinoff of A Cosby Show. But I just knew. I had older sisters who are 7 years older than me. They wanted to go to Howard, but my parents didn't want them to leave the nest. So me being the boy and the hard head, you know, I felt like they told them no, they're gonna tell me yes. I'm gonna make a way. So I went on a lot of black college tours in high school. So I toured the AUC, pretty much every black college. But when I stepped on Howard University's campus, I knew that that was the place for me. It was just a feeling I got. I knew I was at my second home. And then I ended up getting a track and field scholarship to Howard. So that made it easy for me.
Yeah, it made it easy to convince your parents too.
Yeah, exactly. Either y'all gonna pay for college, or I'm gonna go. But no, it was the greatest decision of my life. I mean, if I could do it all over again, I wouldn't hesitate to go to Howard.
I always say my freshman year of college was probably the most transitional year of my life, especially if you move. Like, I grew up in Atlanta, and then I went to Georgia Southern, which is 3 hours away. Not as far as you guys went to school, I know, but 3 hours away is still a good buffer from the neighborhood you grew up in, your parents, all of that. So talk for a minute about that first year, those first experiences at your schools.
I thoroughly enjoyed college and all the experiences encompassed in that. It's important. I feel like, you know, it's your first choice that you make that is about your future. It's the first choice that is not, you know, your parents. No one's telling you you have to go to class. No one's telling you you have to wake up at a certain time or what classes you have to take or choose. So it's kind of like the first step in you fulfilling your destiny and your dreams, whatever those may be. So I have to say, like, I absolutely loved it. I stayed in a dorm on campus my freshman year. HH, for those who went to Spelman, know. You know, I think it's a really good experience. experience. And one thing I know about college specifically is it taught me more than, yes, I got an amazing education, but it's also the space for you to just discover who you are and discover your strengths, discover things that you enjoy. It's really your first taste of truly coming into your own as an adult.
For me, it was an easy transition. I mean, I feel like I always wanted to get out on my own and find my independence, and just going to Howard, that was exactly what I needed. I mean, I really became a man when I got out the house and went to the East Coast. So my experience, it was amazing. I mean, it was rough at times, you know, of course you miss home, but being at Howard, it was just such a beautiful experience to see people like me and just all shapes and sizes, beautiful skin tones. It was amazing.
And the HBCUs are like a family. If you went to Spelman, you road trip to Howard, to him.
Absolutely.
You and
the homecomings.
We're going to get the homecoming.
And you have friends who went to all of those different schools as well.
As a white person, like, I'm always trying to understand more about race. And so being at an HBCU, did that provide a protection? Did you feel a little more protected? Did you feel kind of free of racism a little bit at those campuses?
For me, absolutely. I always say that HBCU is an extension of the village. You have faculty and professors that really take you under their wing and protect you. They want the best for you. I went to a predominantly white high school, so going to Howard was kind of mind-blowing to me. It felt like being at home and being with the family.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is that just because everyone's Black, you're going to have different upbringings, different opinions, different viewpoints, different shapes, sizes, colors. There's such a beautiful variety. But the one thing, you can disagree on a million different things, but you know that you're not going to be treated differently because you're Black. That's dope, you know, and it absolutely is an environment that is about empowering. You know, most schools, they say, look to your right, look to your left. You know, those people won't be sitting with you on graduation day. Where Spelman is, it's look to your right, look to your left, and you better ensure that your sister is next to you on graduation day. So that right there sets the tone. The goal isn't to break you or to kill your spirit, but it's how do we empower you? How do we give you the tools necessary to succeed in life as an African-American, as a Black person, as a Black woman, as a Black man?
For me, I felt like I was pushed a little harder, you know, just to make sure I was prepared for when I left, when I graduate, that I could deal with things that come my way.
Exactly.
I love the connection that I see from HBCUs, particularly my experiences with being here in Nashville and for 20 years and homecoming, the tradition that this many people come back to their school every year is amazing. I think that speaks to the brotherhood, to the sisterhood, to the familyness of HBCU. So I grew up in Atlanta, so I'm very, very familiar with Spelman Homecoming. Not so much with Howard.
You've been down at AUC.
I have plenty of times, trust me. I will say this, though. Something special that I found out about Nashville particularly is Tennessee State University homecoming is not just homecoming for Tennessee State University. It is homecoming for all of Nashville. So if you have kids that are from this city that go off to UT or go off to the University of Memphis or wherever else, they still come back to Nashville for TSU homecoming like they went to Tennessee State University. And it's just such a community driven event. I've always found it beautiful. Well, let's talk for a minute about homecoming, because it is a big deal at HBCUs, more so than it is at other universities. Like, I remember at Georgia Southern, homecoming was cool, but when I came to Nashville and started seeing what TSU's homecoming was, it's like a totally different experience.
It's just a different connection. I mean, I feel like it's a family reunion. HBCUs are already bonded no matter which HBCU you go to, but that homecoming, it's an experience like no other. It's an experience like no other.
And it's not only an opportunity for you to connect with your classmates and your friends, but it's also an opportunity to expose your children. Because as you get older, Ella, from a baby, my daughter, has been. So you ask her, where did mommy go to college? Spelman, she knows. You know, what sorority is mommy? Delta Sigma Theta, she knows. And a piece of that is, I am subliminally like trying to, you know, make sure it becomes her choice versus my choice for her to go to Spelman or an HBCU. But I'm not gonna lie, you know, part of it again is the exposure. And I luckily, you know, not only is it now me exposing and my brothers and I exposing it to our children, you know, I have two of my three brothers went to Morehouse College. So it really is a family affair, you know, when we get together and we tailgate and go to homecoming.
We're always in the TSU homecoming parade every year. My daughter and my wife have both joined me. My daughter's, she's three now. So we missed last year because obviously pandemic, there were no homecomings. But my daughter's been with me in the parade many times, or two times, I guess. So I understand the rich tradition.
Yeah, I have a four-year-old. So,
So I felt bad for her mom because my wife had a carrier, I think, halfway through the parade route. She gave out walking. She was done. But I love having those pictures and I love having those experiences for my daughter at this age. Do you bring your children to homecoming, Lance?
I haven't. I had plans to take my daughter to this past homecoming, but, you know, COVID had different plans for us. But as soon as it's open and safe, Berkeley will definitely be at Howard homecoming.
Sure. He's killing the ladies. He's now, but...
So, Keisha, you mentioned that you're a member of Delta Sigma Theta. My wife is also a member of Delta Sigma Theta. So talk about that experience for a minute, about just about being part of that sisterhood.
You know, it's amazing and it's a lifelong commitment. And I knew, again, because of exposure, that that's the sorority for me. I knew I wanted to be a member of Delta Sigma Theta. I actually have both Deltas and AKAs in my family. And when I was traveling and working and from a young age, it was just the women who were really handling it on top of it and who I interacted with were Deltas. So I knew that that was for me. It's just an amazing network because even today, my line sisters, my prophytes, they're people who we still have that very much village intimate connection where it doesn't matter if I haven't talked to you in 20 years or it's been 2 years and vice versa, you pick up a phone and it's done. And that's the sort of support and sisterhood that exists. And it extends to all the Divine Nine. You know, like, you know, you may joke on Founders Day, whatever, you know, AKAs, Deltas, what have you. I have great friends who are AKAs as well, because ultimately the values and the charge of the organizations are aligned. They are the same. They do have the same synergy. When you look back historically, whether it's the civil rights movement or, you know, any of these movements that have pushed toward, you know, social, financial justice, we have been a part of it. It's about paying it forward and how you can empower your community, not only by the example you set, but also by what you pay it for, how you give back. So I wouldn't have made another choice.
Lance, were you Greek?
I'm not Greek.
I'm not either. Don't feel bad. I was a DJ in college. So like, I felt like if I were to go with one fraternity, I would have had to DJ their parties for free. And then somebody else would have hired me and I wouldn't have made any money. So I was worried about food.
Was the DJ, coincidentally, she now works at Spotify, one of her line games was DJ Kid for free. So you made the right choice.
I was broke enough in college. I didn't need like my mainstream of income going out the door because I decided to fled. So no, I understand the traditions behind both HBCUs and especially frats and sororities as well. It's such a rich tradition that I know you probably had to be part of it to really understand it fully, but you don't have to be part of it to recognize and to respect it. I know you guys have this scholarship opportunity with TBS right now. Can we talk a minute about that?
So this contest that TBS is running, I mean, it's a beautiful opportunity to kind of set up HBCU alumni with financial freedom. TBS Cash Out, it's giving three lucky HBCU alumni the chance to win $25,000 each to pay off their student loan. So it's a great thing they're doing. I'm happy to be a part of it. Like I said, I went on a full track and field scholarship, so I was lucky not to have the burden of a student loan on my back. But this is a great way to kind of circle back and pay it forward to offer these alumni this opportunity.
Yeah, and what we know is, you know, that financial disparity that exists specifically, you know, for our community is real. And the best way that you can empower someone is financially, to give them the freedom, because when you're burdened with this student debt, it stunts you and delays you from the other things you could be doing, from pouring into your own business. So we're really excited to have this opportunity and to give back to people who've recently graduated. So it's super easy. They can enter on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube, 60-second video that they upload talking about how their HBCU experience inspired has help them achieve their dreams. Mm-hmm. And you tag HBCU TBS Cash Out, but you can go on the website to get all of the information. And, you know, we'll be picking. So one thing I do say is just go ahead and put your video out, because you never know. It may be you that gets picked. But if you don't, You have no opportunity to win.
And make sure you tag us, tag TBS Network, and yeah, go get that money.
The deadline, I believe, is March 8th, correct?
March 8th.
All right, real quick before I get you guys out of here, let you guys out of here. Do you have any upcoming, anything you want to promote here?
I'll just speak for me. I'm just continuing, not only in front of the screen, continuing working and acting, but I also have my venture capital fund, the Fearless Fund, is the first fund headed by women of color, specifically investing in women of color. It's a $25 million fund. And I'm really proud of that work because, again, it's coming from a space of financial empowerment and support and investing in our businesses. Because what we know is it isn't a founding issue, it's a funding issue. And it's, again, my way of helping to bridge that gap, to move the needle. And that's a tenor of everything that I do, from my nonprofit, the Camp Kizzy Foundation, to, you know, the work that I do as a general partner in VC fund, to the roles that I play, to even being an entrepreneur myself with my Keisha's Kitchen Collection spices. So I understand, you know, what these women are up against, what they're going through. And it's just my pleasure to be able to use and leverage my platform to help others.
And for me, I'm riding out this COVID train, but I am going back to work on a show that's known and loved. I can't
understand.
I can't say the name.
You can, and I can go viral, and that would be like a favor to me. But I mean, you got to keep it quiet. I understand.
No, but we're about to go back into production, so I'm really excited about that. You'll know very soon.
Very soon.
Looking forward to it. And real quick, I want to extend an invite to you guys to Nashville, Tennessee at any time. I don't know if you guys have ever been up here, but recently the National Museum of African American Music opened up here in Nashville, and there's just a ton of things to see and do. I know we're known as the country music city, but there's so much to the city more than that, that you have to see it for yourself. So, you know, anytime you guys happen to be this way, I'll get you guys taken care of with whatever it is you want to do, because there's a lot to see and a lot to do here
now,
for sure.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Man,
right.
Please do.
All the restaurants.
Right.
Hey, this is the spot to do it too. I'm telling you, the food here is amazing. So absolutely. Thank you guys so much for doing this. And we're going to continue to push HBCUs, because I think that sense of community, that overall mission is really dope.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys. This episode of the podcast brought to you by my good friend William Wilson of the Hammonds Group. What can I say about William that I haven't already said? He's a great realtor. He's a great father. He's a great all-around guy. I guess I can tell you guys a story about William during the 2010 Nashville flood. William and our other friend Walt came to pick me up, and we drove around for hours looking for people to help. And it was a crazy time, and we just wanted to do our part. We weren't actually able to help anybody because everywhere we went, the actual professionals had it under control, and none of us were really trained in any kind of first responder training, but we wanted to, and that's William for you. He wants to help regardless of the circumstances. So if you're looking for property in the state of Tennessee, he's definitely your guy. However, if you have an emergency, you should call 911 and get a pro. William would answer your call, but he may not be able to help, and he may actually make things worse. But if you're looking for property, he is your guy. Call him today, 615-216-4809. Again, call my good friend William Wilson of the Hammonds Group if you're looking for property in the state of Tennessee. 615-216-4809. Once again, I want to thank my guests, Keisha Knight Bulliam and Lance Gross. Next week, Wednesday, March 10th, is when the next episode will drop, and I have a great guest lined up. Melissa Pintor Carnegie of Sex Positive Families will be here to talk about how, why, and when to have realistic conversations about sex with your children. I'm definitely excited about that. As always, follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Clubhouse, and the brand new TikTok that I just started at NolaWhite101, NolaWhite101. If you feel so obliged, leave a great review. Make sure that you subscribe, follow, or whatever the hell else they're calling on whatever platform you use. Thank you for checking out this episode of the podcast and every episode of my podcast. Definitely appreciate that. Back next week. I'm out.